We're going to turn there as children and grandmas are going to children's church. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We have been working through the fruit of the Spirit, in case you're wondering. We're making our way slowly but surely. We're being challenged. We're being encouraged. And finding out that the fruit of the Spirit isn't such an easy thing to follow. It takes a lot of sacrifice of our own personal will. And that's why, as I read the text, sometimes I don't stop at verse 23 because it defines how it's possible if we continue reading to verse 24. And so today, for that benefit, we're going to read both 22, 23, 24, on down. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness," and that's today, "gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." I love that verse 24 and 25, especially where it says in verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. You promised that you would send your Comforter, who would remind us of your truth, who would be present within us, and you have fulfilled that promise. For those of us who have accepted you as Lord and Savior, we know your presence. We know your truth. We sense your leading and your guiding. We know the conviction that you have given us when we've tried or turned aside and tried to go a different path. And Lord, you yourself reminded us that we must take up our cross every day. And here we have this reminder that your fruit is a complicated, difficult task, but it's one we must bear. And in order to do that, we must die to ourselves. And so once again, Lord, we commit ourselves to you in such a way that we are dead so that you can be alive. I pray, Lord, as we look to your word and as we're encouraged by your truth, we will be inspired to bear your fruit as you have borne yours. May we also be like you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The details of the translation process here in this particular passage on this particular word are not complicated. Sometimes we have a different translation from one version to the next. In this particular instance, it's pretty well universal that faith or faithfulness is what is being looked at here. It's the same Greek word either way. How do you know if you use the word faith or faithfulness? Well, it all depends on the context of the verse or the sentence, if you will. Whether it's the fruit that we're referring to here, or the gift. And if you understand the language, it has a little bit different connotation. But the meaning is quite similar or identical. All other expressions of the fruit of the Spirit are dealing with character, as we've been talking, the characteristics of God's fruit. And so we know that the characteristic that is expressed here is faithfulness. It is a characteristic of God that you know very well, that he is faithful. You don't have to question if God will fulfill his promise. He does and he will. He always shall. Now, I wish I could say it was the same for me. I really do wish that I could say, "I am faithful," and say it in such a way that it's a hard, fast rule, a fact of life. I'm always there for God in such a way that it's never questioned. I'm sure you wish you could say the same about yourself. But we're being challenged here by God's word to bear his fruit. Why? Because we have the tendency to not want to bear his fruit. We have the tendency to want to rise up within ourselves and be ourselves and do things our way and therefore express ourselves in our own personal way. And that doesn't always reflect God. And so the challenge is to be faithful today. Will you be faithful as God is faithful? That's the challenge, because this is the characteristic of his fruit. You cannot separate these things. As I've said before, well, I don't have that gift. I don't have the gift of love. I don't have the gift of, let's go back to the fruit, the joy. I don't have the gift of peace. I certainly don't have the gift of patience. Well, guess what? It's not a gift. This is a characteristic of Christ who is in you. It's all part of one fruit. We are just defining the different parts so that you can see how God works through your life. You are called to be faithful. It's his fruit. You are a tree bearing his fruit. And so if you have a difficult time with faithfulness to the Lord, then you must go back to the understanding of I must die so that he can live. The same with loving. Sometimes it's difficult to love the unlovable. Loving your enemies? Really? Jesus said that? You know, we can go through all the different characteristics again, but we're not going to do that. Demonstrate dependability. Is your word true? Is what you say fact? Immovable, concrete. If God says it, it is. May we be just like him. Amen? We are to demonstrate dependability, trustworthiness, loyalty, constancy, and steadfastness in our walk with God. We can be relied upon. That's the understanding of faithfulness that is expressed here. We stand by what is true, and we stay with our comments, our commitments, regardless of our feelings. Feelings. Aren't feelings wonderful? Honestly, sometimes I just wish we didn't have any feelings at all. I know that's a terrible thing to say, but how many times have we waffled in our characteristic of Christ because of the feelings? Let's give a really good example. I don't feel like going to Sunday school. Isn't that a great one? We totally kicked that one to the curb today. And we had 33 people in the adult class, not counting those in the downstairs. Is that right? Was that? That's like, wow, that's cool. But let's be honest. How many felt like going to Sunday school today? A whole bunch of you. So maybe that's not the greatest example. It's a really cool topic. End times. Let's find out what's going on in the world. Let's see how it relates. I feel like going today. But it's interesting that we didn't have near that many last spring when we didn't feel. Am I stepping on toes? Come on. Come on. Just say stop it. Stop doing that. I don't feel like tithing. I know, these are real personal. I don't feel like being nice when someone speaks to me in a rude manner. I feel like expressing myself when they cut me off in traffic. Come on, let's be honest. We feel like expressing what's going on inside when it's to our advantage, right? Oh, I feel like telling that referee, he got it wrong. You know what? The refs, I personally thought, did a great job Friday night. You know, was that the home game? We didn't win, but we played a really good team. They had some great athletes, fast. They're disciplined. Those guys blocked not for 1 second. They didn't block just for 2 seconds. They blocked until the whistle blew. That's like the coach's dream come true, right? So they were a tough team, but we did score 20 points on them. That says something, right? Come on. Now, I don't know who the lady was behind me, but she didn't agree with me. And I'm going to tell you right now, everybody in the stands knows someone didn't agree with the call, right? Come on, come on. You know, I just want to say, if Christ is in you and you're called to bear his fruit, there are times where you do not express your feelings because your feelings might be wrong. You express faithfulness and you can be angry and sin not. That's a proverb. Isn't that cool? I almost got a technical foul on me when I was coaching football. I didn't know I was being that bad. I was standing by the ref. He happened to be right in front of me. And I just told him, really? Really? You missed that call? I don't even remember what I said. I don't think I asked if he was blind or if he needed glasses, but I might have. I might have been bad. I can't remember for sure. But I do remember this. He just kind of did this under his shoulder kind of look at me. Really, coach? And he starts grabbing his flag. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I kind of did mean it, but I'll stop. I felt like saying more. And then I recognized what a terrible witness I just was. That's not Christ-like. You can express yourself. You could say, this isn't right, and that's fine. But make sure you don't go so far. Amen? Let's look at God's faithfulness. God is faithful. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You're probably saying, well, we really don't have to go through all this. We know it's true. Well, I like to read God's word. I think God's word is pretty awesome. 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I've had people sit in my office. I've had people at the altar. I've had people in different places that have told me, I don't know if I'm really saved. And I would ask them, why not? Well, I just don't feel like I'm saved. This is the verse I go to. Did you confess your sins? Yes, I did. Did you ask him for forgiveness? Yes. Did you commit your life to serving him all the days of your life with all your heart? Absolutely. Then you're saved. Well, how do you know? How do you know for sure? I don't feel like some people have expressed. Some people have this testimony, and it's like, boom, there's fireworks, there's sparkles, and there's butterflies, and all this awesome feeling. And I'm like, you know what? That's great for them, but you don't need the feeling. Because God's word is sure. He is faithful and just and will forgive your sins. If you are sincere in your prayer, you're forgiven. You're born again. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're my son. You're my brother and you're my sister in Christ. You don't have to feel it. Isn't that wonderful? All the people that don't have all the feelings on their shirt sleeves, you're so glad. I'm one of the guys. But I will say there are times when you feel the love, the grace, and the mercy. And it's a wonderful thing. But don't rely on your feelings. God is faithful. Amen. I love that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 9, if you'd like to turn there. 1 Corinthians. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong in the end so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. He is faithful. He will do what he has said he will do. He has given you all that you need for living for him. He has called you into fellowship. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We happened to be there in our Sunday school class. We didn't read this passage. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and verse 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Awesome. He's faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 through 23. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He is faithful. If you come to him with a heart of repentance, if you come to him with a sincere desire to find the forgiveness of sins, to find his spirit within you as you submit your life to Christ, he is faithful. He has done it in you. It's a promise of God. Now, it's wonderful if you have the feelings that go with it. I remember I was about 7 years old. We didn't have a platform with a table up front at the time. I don't know if we took it out during Sunday night or what, but I happened to kneel right in front of the pulpit at the altar. I had to ask my mom for permission to get saved, because that's what little boys do. I asked mom, I said, "Mommy, can I go?" As the pastor called for someone to come forward to receive Christ. And I went forward, knelt at the altar, and I didn't know what to do. I mean, I grew up in church, but I didn't know what to do. And a Sunday school teacher of mine came up and put her arms around me, and she asked me, "Kevin, do you know what to say?" I said, "No." "Well, I'll lead you in prayer." And so she led me in that prayer of salvation, like a good Sunday school teacher does. And I remember the burden that was lifted from me. And I've shared this before. I felt like I could jump. I felt like a weight was on me that was lifted. I had no idea I was so heavy. I felt so light. And so I can relate to the people that have the feelings, because I had some of those when I was just a boy. But I can tell you of numerous times where I came forward because God called me to come and to kneel before him, and I walked away without any feelings at all. But I had a confidence in my heart. It was finished. It was done. Victory had been won. Not because I felt it, but because there was a knowing that came from God above. And I simply trusted his word to be true. God is faithful. Now God is turning the table on you. He's saying, "Okay, I was faithful. I have been faithful. I always shall be faithful. You are to bear my fruit. And part of my fruit, the characteristic of who I am that is in you, is for you to be faithful." There's a sad statistic out there that sometimes is accurate, sometimes it's not, because I do think it's a little subjective based on where we are. But the sad statistic is that it's the church that is the most difficult and hard on people who struggle. Someone falls and we want to tear them up, and I say, shame on you. We should be the ones giving the most support, having the most forgiveness and the most love. We should be the one that extends the olive branch. We should be the one that reaches out and says, "Hey, I'm going to help you out. Whatever you need, I'm there for you." We should be the ones that are lifting one another up and cheering when we have victories and crying when we don't, right alongside our brother and our sister in Christ. We should be dependable and faithful to one another. That's the church God wants. And I believe that's the church that we have, that we will continue to see as we grow in him. Have we made mistakes in the past? Absolutely. You want to know how I know we've made mistakes? I'm going to tell you, this is real deep. Because there's people here. Come on now. Yeah. Have we made mistakes we shouldn't have made? Absolutely. Why do I know that? Because there's people here. I had a guy tell me, I'm not going to church because there's so many hypocrites. And I said, wow, that's amazing. Why do you say that? I said, because I've never been to a church that's not got a few hypocrites. Really? How's that? Well, I'm always there. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, I'm not perfect. When I'm perfect, there's one of two things that have happened. I'm either dead or Jesus came back and got me. I'm going to make mistakes. And by your definition, that's a hypocrite. I wish I could say I never make bad choices. But the reality is, I'm human. I might make a bad choice. I don't want to, and I don't have to, and I pray I don't. And I pray the same for you. Mistakes are one thing. Bad choices, that's intentional. We do those things. But I want to challenge you this. We can be faithful to love one another through it all. We are not a perfect church, and we never will be. Because we're either dead or we're raptured. But we can make fewer mistakes. Amen. We can love better. We can have more joy. We can be more patient than we've ever been before. And we can be faithful to one another like we've never been. Why? Because God says so. You don't base your faithfulness on your feelings. You base it on His word of truth. So I'm going to challenge you, be faithful. Matthew 24, did we read that yet? Probably not. I'm still in Hebrews. Matthew 24. Somebody's probably thinking, I wish he would quit preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. This is hard. It's hard, right? This is challenging. Faithfulness, really? That's supposed to be one of the easy ones. No, not always. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and the wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in the household to give them their food at the proper time? It would be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The point of the parable is to be the faithful servant. Well, he's not coming anytime soon. I can relax. I can kind of slack off. I have a funny story. My brother, he was putting in long hours in the tractor, and we had our noon meal, and then he went back to the tractor, and he was still tired from getting up real early. And so he kicked back in his chair in this 4894 Case tractor. And he had his feet up on the steering wheel because he flipped it up straight. And he's kicking back and he thought, I'll just take a 5-minute power nap. Anybody grew up on a farm and you've done that before? Come on. Well, 4 o'clock is lunchtime, we call it. That's when you take out the snack before the evening meal, which is usually around 7 or 8. That's the farm life. So I was responsible for bringing the lunch out, and I come pulling up with the vehicle, and here's the tractor sitting where I saw it last, at noon. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Kyle must have broke down. I come walking up to the tractor, and here he is, clonked out to the world. He is sawing logs. He's sleeping like you can't believe. I pop the door open, and if you've ever been in the cab of a tractor when it's running and the door pops, you hear it. It's like, because it's suddenly really, really loud. And he just, whoa, he just sat right up. He looks at me, he goes, what time is it? And I said, really? It's 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock? It was 1 o'clock, and I thought I'd take a power nap. It was great. I said, oh, I wish Grandpa brought lunch today. Oh, I wish it was Grandpa. He would have got you mad. Don't tell anybody. I feel bad. I said, don't worry. I'll just tell the congregation in Glendive someday. He wasn't doing it to be bad. He was really tired. He put in long hours into the night, lights on, all that, tried to get done. But sometimes we just get lazy. We want to take the shortcut. And we think, well, if I don't do it, someone else will. And so we step back a little bit. Jesus gives us the parable of a servant who's not given a lot of responsibility, but a little bit. And the understanding is, if he's faithful with the small things, I will put him in charge of great things. I'm not saying to have a goal of being in charge of great things. But I am going to challenge you that you ought to be responsible and faithful with what you have been given. That God might bless you to go above and beyond later. I think it's a great challenge of faithfulness. Matthew 25, verse 19 through 30. I'm not going to read through it all. But you have the parable of the talents. You understand the parable? It's really not about talents, like being able to play an instrument and sing or teach. It's talking about money. And you know the story of how it went, where the ones who were able to come back and have gained more were blessed with more responsibility. But the one who hid it and buried it and decided, well, my master is a strict man, so I'm going to make sure I give him back what he gave me. I'm not going to lose a dime. He was the one that was punished for not being faithful. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 5 is another passage that I'd like to read. First Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 1. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time, that wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Verse 2, it says, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Well, you might wonder, what trust have I been given? You have been saved. You have been born again. You have been set free from the bondage of sin. The chains have been broken, and you are a servant of God, and you are called to bear his fruit. Therefore, you have been entrusted with something, and you are called to be faithful to it. Be faithful to the call of God. And let him lead you where he will. And every one of us will be led a different way. And I believe that God has great things in store for the faithful. I won't turn there, but Revelation 17, verse 14, this verse is there. And it's an interesting passage that we'll get into at Sunday school. But here's a very, very narrow pie of a greater picture. It says, those who are with him are his called, chosen, and faithful followers. I want to be one of those guys. I want to be one that's called, faithful, chosen. And honestly, that is exactly who you are. And that is exactly who I am. We are the faithful. Let's live by it. Amen. So, we're going to wrap it up with a very easy third point. If you're taking notes, you've been following through, writing down verses, and hopefully little side notes that go along with it. Well, this last point is very simple, and I only have one parentheses text, and here it is. The faithful can be trusted. Amen. What does amen mean? Anybody? So be it. I love that. You can be trusted. You're faithful. You can be trusted. Amen. The faithful cannot be moved. I love that. I remember I'm in college, okay? I'm a football player. I'm lifting weights. I'm trying to get stronger for the next season. And the high school decides to come and do their wrestling practice at our facility. Well, that's cool. Well, the kids come out of this room where if you're a wrestler, you're insane. I mean, you wrestle in these close, hot proximity places. I mean, it's like 110 degrees in that little wrestling room. So they come out and they say, hey, we're down some people. Would you come in and help us? And I looked at them and I said, I don't know anything about wrestling. Well, that's okay. You don't need to know anything. Okay. So I go, fine, I'll do it. I'm game. I'll do it. So I get in there and they say, okay, here's what you got to do. You need to get down on your hands and your knees like this. And then you need to not let the guy turn you. And he's going to come in behind and we'll say start. And then you basically try and keep your position and he's going to try and flip you and turn you and pin you. Well, that sounds like fun, right? So I'm like, fine, okay, I'll do that. And so this big dude comes over and he's like a real stocky wrestler guy. And he goes and grabs my arm and says, oh, he squeezes my muscles like, oh, you know, trying to make me feel good. Go! And they're like, and I'm just like, and he's pushing me around. We went like 10 minutes. And I'm just, he's not going to move me. I would not be moved. And then finally, poor kid just falls on his back exhausted. Blah. I can't believe that. I'm like, is that it? Is that all there is to it? Well, technically, you're supposed to try and turn around and pin him. Well, why didn't you tell me? I mean, I'm just standing there, like, not moving, and I'm thinking, man, I could have had so much more fun. But that was my wrestling debut. Last time I ever wrestled professionally. No, it wasn't professional. I used to wrestle when I was a kid, just backyard wrestling. I thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. I don't get it. I had no idea. Well, I think about that sometimes. Because I remember he could not move me. He worked and he twisted and he pried. He did everything. I think he even clawed me a few times. I had scratch marks and all that good stuff going on. And I just wouldn't move because I'm stubborn. I'm going to stay here. I wonder, am I that way with Christ? Or am I kind of bendable, soft, easily twisted? You know, life can be hard. It comes at you with all it has. But when you have the strength of God in your life, you can stand strong because you are the faithful. Do not let the circumstances announce or dictate to you who you are or how to live. You are faithful. No emotion, no circumstance, no person, no spirit can sway you because you're the faithful. You can be trusted. You will not be moved. You will serve the Lord with gladness and will stand even in the face of death because you're faithful. Revelation 2:10. I like how we have misunderstood Psalm 23. And I'll quote the King James because that's how I memorized it as a boy. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I used to think about, what does that really mean? Well, I did some digging, and here's what it means. Even if I am to die, I will not be afraid. If I die today, I die faithful. And yet we're so afraid of death. I mean, the modern church. Why do we fear death? I think we've gotten some bad teaching. Death's a real thing. You have faced disease. You have faced things that doctors had to intervene. And as you go through those things, your emotions are tested. But I want to tell you, you are the faithful. And you can stand in the face of death itself and not be afraid. And I'm so thankful when those that are standing strong are healed. But I've prayed with many who were not. I've held hands to those that died in the grips of my own palm. A peaceful, glorious death. And we're not afraid. Why? Because we're the faithful. Would you stand with me as we close?